following interview, Allison Chaikin and I tag team interviewed Chase Douglas from Canonical about his work with gestures and multi-touch. I had to go back and re-record Allison's comments because her connection to the Mumble server was bad. This was a collection of firsts for me. First time using Mumble, first time talking to Allison, and first time doing an interview that wasn't in person. Hope you enjoy. Hey all, this is like my eighth podcast for Hacker Public Radio. This is Marcos. I'm here with Chase Douglas from Canonical, who works on gestures stuff, and Allison Chaikin, who is very active in the community that I've discovered kind of lately. So Allison and I are tag team interviewing Chase. So we'll see over Mumble. So let's see how this goes. So Chase, you work for Canonical on gestures. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're working on, kind of give an introduction?
Yeah, sure. So I, as you said, I work at Canonical primarily on Ubuntu, anything related to multi-touch and gestures. So I started on this project about a year and a half ago now, in the summer of 2010. And the goal was to create a framework for providing multi-touch gestures to applications, window managers such as Unity, and everything has basically fallen from there, basically. So that has sprawled out into upstream X input multi-touch integration and support to a bunch of tooling, and then into a gesture recognition system. And we're also currently looking into adding support to applications like Events, which is a GTK-based PDF viewer, and Eye of Gnome, which is a GTK-based image viewer, and various applications. One of the things that we're working on right now is actually getting touch support and gesture support into Chromium. So hopefully we get that in for Ubuntu 12.04.
So the app support stuff, that's all been very application specific. Like you're working with the Google people to get that into Chrome?
Well, I will say we just started on Chromium. I mean, we basically checked out the source code and have dove into it. We haven't actually written it yet. But Chromium is an open source project, and my understanding is that you develop patches and you, you know, submit them on the Chromium.org site. What I found was interesting was about 2 months ago in September, someone at Intel had extended Chromium for the prototype X input multi-touch support that we have in Ubuntu. So we're just now trying to build that and test it because checking Chromium out alone takes about an hour on a fast connection, and then building it takes forever and 4 gigs of RAM. So just getting that running and built is a challenge in and of itself. So we're close to being able to testing that and see how well it works. We're kind of excited.
Chase, to back up, can you talk a little bit about what X input is, how text in general works in Linux?
Allison asked, Chase, back up for a moment. Can you talk a little bit about what X input is and how X in general works in Linux?
Yeah, sure. So X is the Windows server that is generally used as the basis for most graphical applications and user interfaces on Linux distributions. And it's been around for like 24 years now, so it's in a sense it's an ancient technology that has been essentially rewritten many times over the years. So with X input, it's what's called an extension to X. In the way beginning of time, X only had the concept of one keyboard and one mouse. And over time, there have been extensions to the input protocol for X so that it could support multiple mice, so that you could have a USB mouse and your track point and your trackpad, and they all would work. Believe it or not, 10, 15 years ago, that just was not possible. So then beyond that, we are now into the second revision of the input extension, and we're trying to add multi-touch capabilities into that so that an application can see that, you know, if you touch with three fingers in its window, it sees three different streams of events.
Is that the main way in which touch is different from multi-touch?
Yeah, it's, well, so that then gets filtered through the toolkits. So, you know, you have a higher level of abstraction to make things easier, but that's the fundamental basis of how multi-touch will work on Linux, and then how we are building our gesture stack on top of that. Originally, our gesture stack was integrated directly into the X server. We were trying to get something going, you know, a hackish prototype in a sense. And now that we have developed a protocol for multi-touch, and now we're Peter Hutter and I are working to implement that upstream, and now we also have our stack working on top of that as well. So everything, that's kind of the foundation of everything that we're doing.
Allison asked, do you have any particular target hardware that you were thinking about during its development?
Yeah, so three classes of hardware to keep in mind. There's touch screens, which are also called direct touch devices, because where you touch on the screen is where the events go. There's track pads, or indirect devices. The touch events that you create by touching on a trackpad go to wherever the cursor is on screen. And then there's a third type, which we've been calling independent. And so that an example of that is a mouse that has a touch surface on top of it. So the difference between a mouse with a touch surface and a trackpad is that when you have one touch on the trackpad, that will move your cursor around, whereas a mouse, you physically move the mouse, and then the touches on top are like auxiliary information for so that you can scroll using one finger swipes, for example. So we have three devices, device types. The hardware that we generally have been using for our own development purposes, for trackpads, they have been the Apple Magic Trackpad and Synaptics trackpads. The Apple Magic Trackpad is by far the best trackpad available on the market. It gives you up to 10 or 11 touches simultaneously. You can have fun getting that on there because it's only about 5 inches by 4 inches square. So, like, I don't know, all 10 fingers plus a nose, maybe you can get on there. Touch screens, we have a lot of laptops ship with N-Trig touchscreens, and beyond N-Trig, we're also looking into, we have some community members who have put Ubuntu on various Android tablets, like the Galaxy Tab or the Asus Transformer. So we have people who are using touchscreens there. And the independent devices, the one that we know of that works is the Magic Mouse, but we don't actually have support yet in any of our stack for that type of product yet.
Hey Chase, on the framework for all of those different types, is it pretty much a shared framework, or do you have to have different underlying, is it pretty different underneath to support all those three different types?
It's the same framework. It'll all be using the X input multi-touch foundation, and then the multi-touch protocol for X, it extends the devices, the information that you can get about devices, so that you can tell what type it is, and then you can do your gesture recognition, your work on top of that, based on how those devices function. So it all works similar. The differences you might see, for example, is if you're using the Qt toolkit, which we actually have multi-touch support working in Ubuntu, you can fire up an application they have. It's a demo example called Fingerpaint. And if you fire up the Fingerpaint application, you get this white canvas, and you start painting on a touchscreen, all of your touches go to wherever you're touching physically on the screen. On a trackpad, for example, the way it works is it doesn't do anything until you put at least two touches down. Because when you have one touch down, you're moving the cursor. once you start putting two touches down, it starts to draw. It virtually separates the fingers based on how far apart they are on the trackpad, but it draws them at the location of the mouse. So there are these intricacies of you know, the how, what type of device it is, ensures that you are using it in a certain way. But in terms of the plumbing layer, the foundation, it's all the same.
So let's see, if you do like a three-finger touch and it goes across on the screen, it goes across like two different applications. That's all done in the gesture stack?
So it's actually done in the X server. What happens if you drag, like on a touch screen, if you drag three touches across a window, those touches are the technical term is implicitly grabbed by that window. So that means that even if you pull those touches, you drag them outside of the window, that window is still the only one receiving events until you lift those touches up. This is the historical design of X, and theoretically, if you think about it a bit, it's kind of how you want it to work anyways. You can extrapolate from the idea of if you take a mouse and you hold down the left mouse button and you start highlighting text, if you leave the window, you want to continue highlighting the text. Maybe you left the window erroneously. Maybe it's just easier for you to drag and scroll down the screen outside of that window so you're not hiding parts of the text. If your button were lifted up and then replaced down on a different window, that would really throw things off. So there's a lot of these gotchas and intricacies that are taken care of by the X server, and once you start using them, hopefully it feels intuitive and it feels like how it should work. But when you're designing the protocol, they kind of create nightmares for me in a sense.
We expect the mouse and keyboard to be with us for the long term. Are you really thinking of all these touches used in concert with a mouse and keyboard, or do you think we might actually be evolving away from that?
Allison asks, do we expect the mouse and keyboard to be with us in the long term? Are you really thinking of all these touches used in concert with the keyboard and mouse, or that we may be evolving away from that?
That's a good question. I don't have a good answer for that. I tend to think that there's going to be the two classes of devices, the tablets and the computers. And tablets are going to rise up and probably become, I think that they'll probably be more prevalent eventually than traditional computers with the full array of input devices, keyboard and mouse. But I think that the computer will definitely still be with us for all of your at least work and productivity types of use cases. So in that sense, I think that our reliance on mice and keyboard will diminish, especially for consumer consumption-oriented tasks, to the point that maybe they do go away and we just are left with tablets, essentially. For work and productivity stuff, I can't imagine that we'll really get away from keyboards and mice. One thing that I have thought about is Microsoft has their Kinect for the Xbox 360. And everyone on this podcast probably knows what it is, but I'll just remind, I suppose. It's this camera that can take pictures or take video of a person standing in front of it who, when you wave your hands, it can detect your body movements, and it can detect in 3D which way you're moving. What I envision might happen there is someone might come along, and I think Microsoft has just announced, or rumors have swirled around, that they might be going in this direction, that you'll get a Kinect that is meant more for you to be using it as at your desktop scenario, where you're only a foot to 2 feet away from your computer, and you essentially gesticulate with your fingers instead of waving your arms around and having to do a whole exercise to do things. Maybe just simple, you lift up your fingers from your keyboard and you do kind of like a spread out to a jazz hands, and the camera picks that up and it spreads your windows out or something like that. I think there's utility to, you know, as close as they are today, trackpads and keyboards, mice and keyboards, people still sometimes are frustrated by, oh, I have to lift up my you know, hands from my keyboard to go to my mouse to, you know, do certain things in this GUI application. And if there was a way to easily just, you know, lift your fingers up 1 inch and do a little gesture, a flick or something, then maybe that'll have some utility.
Has anybody, or have you guys played around with hooking Kinect up to the gesture stuff?
No, we haven't. I think the biggest reason, we definitely have looked at it in theory. The biggest problem is, I guess what we did, we stepped back and we said, we don't have the bandwidth right now to go full bore and look into, you know, hacking Kinect into our gesture framework. But why don't we watch it and see if anyone does anything interesting? Of course, lots of people did really interesting things with the Kinect. But when you step back and look at them and how some of those how people made them interact with user interfaces, you still had people having to stand up, hold their hands out for extenuated periods of time, things that just people would not want to do or physically be able to do for a long time using that Kinect scenario. And the Kinect devices, they have, I believe they have a certain focus and a certain camera physical aspects to them that makes them only work if you're standing up 5 to 10 feet away from them. So we can't easily test this theory of, you know, what if we did some small gestures right above a keyboard, for example. So in that sense, we haven't really looked into it, and I'm hoping that maybe we start to see some of this hardware come out that would allow this, and maybe we'll take some good ideas from the community.
So if anyone listening to this wants to kind of get into X-hacking and gesture stuff, they could grab a Kinect and see what they could do with it then, huh?
Yeah, sure. It will definitely provide challenges for us because what we have right now is a system that is geared towards 2D touch sensors. When you get touch events from the driver and the kernel, you get X and Y. The Kinect is going to open that up to, okay, now we need X, Y, and Z, or maybe we need to somehow encode shapes. There's going to be a lot there that will have to be, you know, figured out in a sense. Will we have to extend the kernel interface? Will we have to extend X input again for, you know, new types of input? Or maybe it's just all user space and, you know, we just assume one application will handle it all. I don't know yet.
That'd be kind of cool. Go ahead, Allison. Sorry.
When you talk about going from 2D to 3D, it immediately makes me think of Kronos and OpenGL. You do have to wonder if there would be room for standards in some type of gesture language that people agree upon, as there are sort of keyboard and mouse default standards.
Allison basically asks, is there talk about an agreed-upon gesture language?
So I heard some of that. I'll try and rephrase, and you can tell me if I got that right. You're asking about if there's the possibility for standardization of something like a gesture language, sort of how Kronos Group puts out OpenGL and OpenCL. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so... there's actually some interesting work that some of the research laboratories at universities around the world are doing. There's a couple people who have attacked the idea of a gesture language. We ourselves have briefly looked into it at Canonical. The challenge for us is more that we aren't at the point yet where we have a stack that is able to be exploited to provide a gesture language above and beyond that stack, but that will happen soon. And what was interesting, I don't remember the name of who it was, but less than a year ago, they posted to our multi-touch development mailing list that I think it might have been their doctoral thesis. Part of it was on gesture language and how you would describe a sequence of gesture events. And so there's a lot of interesting things there. The challenge is, how do you create a user interface that is complex enough to really use something like a gesture language while not requiring the user to have training on it? Even as it is right now, where we have simple gestures like a spread motion to spread your windows out on your desktop in Unity, or a four-finger tap to bring up the dash. Those types of gestures, people have to hear about them, or they have to stumble upon them somehow. We're looking to make that better by presenting, kind of a cheat sheet inside of Unity so that people can start to learn this. But even with those very simple things, you still have to sort of be taught or become aware of them. And if you get into a full gesture language, that just elongates the process and maybe makes it harder.
Hey, so no one's working on a gesture ML yet then, huh? Markup language.
Yeah, well, the one person who I mentioned, I just can't remember his name, he did have a full language spec'd out. So there's definitely someone working on it.
What is the state of device driver support for capacitive screens that will support multi-touch in Linux?
Allison asks, what is the state of device driver support for capacitive screens that will support multi-touch in Linux?
So it's at this point, most touchscreens are actually supported, and actually the device manufacturers are starting to get into it themselves, which is very interesting. It's very nice to see that. In particular, we've seen ElanTech is a touchpad company. They have contributed upstream in the Linux kernel to bring multi-touch to their trackpads. Who else have we seen? Cypress. Cypress makes touchscreens. I believe that you can find them in the HP touchpad, and they're contributing drivers upstream. One thing that's cool about them is some of their devices support the ability to detect hovering. So if your finger gets within an inch of the surface of the screen, it'll start to tell you that, oh, a finger is coming into contact, and here it is, and things like that. It's really cool stuff. So we're seeing not only that the hardware support is being expanded by people who just have the hardware and hacked it together, like Rafi Rubin did for the N-Trig touchscreens, and I did for the Magic Trackpad, Michael Poole did for the Magic Mouse, but we're also seeing companies get into the game. One interesting company is Next Window. They've provided a binary driver. It'd be nice if it was open source, but at least they recognize the importance of Linux, and they've actually created a binary driver that they host on Launchpad for people to use on Ubuntu, Debian, Red Hat. I haven't tried it myself, but it's another one of these areas where it's just exciting to see companies get it and understand that if you just give us the drivers, which is a somewhat simple task to do, we will enable your product. We'll make sure that it works well.
Hey, Chase, so with things like hovering and the gestures and stuff, then where does the breakdown, where does that become between what the hardware is able to do and the drivers do and what's done in user space? I mean, if there's so many differing capabilities between different hardware, how does that break down?
So it's all pretty much based on the hardware and or the firmware. To a certain extent, we don't know what the difference is as users of the devices. It could be that with a firmware update, certain devices could provide even more data. We don't really know, but there is that sort of dividing line between the interface to the hardware and the Linux kernel where the drivers are. And that's basically where everything ends up being defined. There's essentially only one area where we sort of add some functionality to some less intelligent drivers. There's a library called MTDev that Henrik Rydberg wrote, and that takes some devices, some older devices, they provide you with the locations of each touch at a given point in time. But what we really need is to be sure of where touches are moving. So each touch really needs to have a tracking ID associated with it, so that when you start to move your fingers, we know that, okay, that touch moved from this location to that location because it still has the same ID, as opposed to, you know, you flipped your fingers and you don't know anymore which finger is which. I mean, in practice, physically, that's not really easy to do, but in theory, is possible. So Henrik wrote this library called MTDev that takes untracked touches and follows them, does heuristics based on, you know, how close are these new touches to these old touches, and assigns tracking IDs. But outside of that, that's pretty much the only thing that we do to massage the data that comes out of the device itself.
So it's very much done at the kernel driver level, or is it pretty much just passed straight through from the hardware to X?
It's just passed straight through from the hardware. You know, very occasionally we'll find that a hardware supports something that the kernel doesn't support yet through its interfaces. So we have to extend the kernel, but in that sense, we're still not providing that data inside of Linux. We're just extending it so that we can pass even more data from the device.
So it sounds like you're not tied to Linux, and this stuff could work on the BSDs if someone was interested.
Yeah, well, what it would take is a BSD multi-touch input interface. I'm not sure if they have one yet or not, and drivers to you know, get the data from the devices and send them to user space.
Speaking of software coupling, are you looking at Wayland already, or is that still over the horizon?
Allison asks, speaking of software coupling, are you looking at Wayland already, or is that still over the horizon?
It's still a bit over the horizon for our touch team. In a sense, we are still working on getting multi-touch through X. It's been a big task, and we're nearing the end of that, but it's been taking up all of our resources, in a sense. However, we have been watching Wayland, and we have some thoughts on how multi-touch could work in Wayland. X and Wayland are very different when it comes to how windows are managed, and that affects how events are propagated. And as such, there's some complexities that we have to throw in into X because of that, but also because of a bunch of legacy requirements and protocols that we won't have to deal with when we move to Wayland. We can start afresh and we can do it better a second time around. I'm hoping that it, for one, is much easier and much simpler, but on top of that, that we can re-architect a gesture framework in particular to be considered essentially like a first-class event of the Wayland input system, whereas right now with the uTouch stack, it's a second-class citizen. It's provided as a layer on top of the X input system. So there's a lot of ideas we have there, you know, I've spoken with a few people about those ideas. Tiago Vignati at Intel, but of Qt and Trolltech fame. He has been looking into this a bit for Wayland, I think stuff will happen pretty shortly, but we haven't been focusing on it ourselves at Canonical for multi-touch yet.
The automotive case seems like a fascinating one as far as touch and gesture go. I know that Ubuntu has an IVI remix, and recently Cadillac has come out with a multi-touch screen that has haptic feedback and has some gesture support. Looks like a very exciting area for development. actual shipping products in 2012. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all.
Allison says, the automotive case seems like a fascinating one. As far as touch and gesture goes, and Ubuntu has an IDI something or other, and recently Cadillac has a multi-touch screen that has haptic feedback and some gesture support. This looks like a very exciting area for development, actually shipping products in 2012. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all.
Yeah, that's a little bit beyond the range of what I can keep track of in a sense. But yeah, I agree. It is a very interesting range of products there, especially because in the automotive world, it's all about quickly interacting with the user interface without having to move your eyes from the road. And you know, being sure that you get that the interface does the correct thing. I think there's a lot that we can help in doing that through multi-touch and gestures. But we haven't looked at those use cases. At least our team hasn't looked at those use cases yet.
I think I've exhausted my list of questions. What's your favorite part that you're working on? Did you find like the most challenging or the most interesting thing, really interesting things that you've learned that you really, most people may not know, things like that? Anything?
There's two things that give me a lot of enjoyment. The first, on a technical level, is anytime I pick up a new technology and it's obvious that the technology was well thought out and I'm integrating with it, it's a pleasure to do so. So when I created a uTouch QML plugin, it was very interesting to integrate with that. And the thing that I've been doing recently is integrating Google Test as a test framework for our products. And that also, to me, is very well written. And it's just a joy to work on things like that. You just kind of feel like I'm doing things the right way, and it's awesome. The other side, the other thing that really I enjoy personally is interacting with people, especially the community outside of Canonical. So dealing, you know, going to the Qt Developer Conference last year, where I learned about, you know, QML and got some pointers for integrating things there. When I go to the X Developers Summits and conferences, and just the interaction on the mailing lists, it takes it away from just being a job in a sense to being a, you know, I'm helping the community at large. There are random people who, who aren't even in those developer communities who I know are benefiting from this work, and it's that type of that aspect of the work brings me a lot of joy.
Do you anticipate contributing the multi-touch work to GNOME and Debian as well?
Allison asks, do you participate contributing the multi-touch work to GNOME and Debian as well?
Yeah, so one of the biggest blockers for us has been that our stack required deep patches to the X server. Literally thousands of lines of code are stuffed into the Maverick, Natty, and Oneric X servers. Our goal is that for this next cycle, when we release in April, that we will be using the upstream implementation of X input multi-touch, and that we will have pushed all of our uTouch gesture stack to the client side of X, built on top of the multi-touch protocol. And so we won't have these hairy, nasty patches in our X server. Once that's the case, it becomes much more reasonable to go to other distributions, Debian, Red Hat, Fedora, whoever, and say, look, you've got your X bits. Your X bits are upstream. They provide you multi-touch. You can just package up our user space uTouch framework on top of that. Then we can go to the toolkits and say, look, everyone's using, you know, uTouch, and we think it's a great framework for gestures. we think we should collaborate and create some frameworks, much like we do with QML. And so in a sense, it's all being built up slowly, and the big stumbling block so far has been our huge patches in the X server, which hopefully will be alleviated shortly.
So this is an area where Canonical is really, really good about working with upstream then.
I like to think so. Now, I certainly have a view that is biased by the people that I work with. I like to think that a lot of upstream issues are due to misunderstandings, miscommunications, and all that. I think that everyone is trying to get a little bit better in this regard. So in a sense, I don't want to say that it's that, Canonical is specifically working better with, upstream for uTouch or whatnot. It's all of Canonical working with all of upstream. I think it's more that everyone is sort of learning how to work with everyone else. And it just kind of came across a little bit better this time with uTouch and some of the X work.
What new features can we anticipate, if any, that will be user visible for precise Pangolin, as it's called, in the area of multi-touch and gestures?
Allison asked, what new features can we anticipate that will be user visible for precision in the area of multi-touch and gestures?
So what we have right now is a framework that is built for performing gestures that are, I like to think of them as intentional gestures. So that means that they have a threshold that you have to cross. For example, if you got your touchscreen or your trackpad and you do a three-finger spread, it should maximize your window in Unity. And so you have to cross a threshold of how far apart your fingers have moved before it triggers this atomic action. That's great for things like window manager interactions. What it falls down for is like smooth scrolling, kinetic scrolling, because in that instance, you want to immediately touch down with two fingers on a trackpad and start moving the page when your fingers start moving. You don't want to wait for a threshold to be crossed. So one of the things that we've added into our stack that will be coming out this next cycle is the ability to specify thresholds so that you can, for scrolling, you would essentially have a zero threshold. As soon as you start moving, the page would start moving. So that's one area that we have some good features. The other area is right now, you can only perform one gesture at a time per device. And in fact, I don't really recommend someone go out and try and perform two gestures using two different devices. I have no clue what you'd do there anyways. You might expose race bugs. But what we are expanding to is the ability to have multiple simultaneous gestures at the same time on the screen, even within the same application, the same window and everything. To do that, it actually requires a combinatorial analysis of gestures. So, for example, let's say that you have a standard like diff viewer tool. It's got two panes. On the right side is the new version of a file. On the left side is the old version of the file. And so you want to be able to scroll on both panes independently using two different fingers on a touch screen, for example. So what our stack does, if you start, let's say you put two fingers down on one on each pane, and you start scrolling downwards in each pane at the same time. So our stack only works at the window level. And so these are all both of these touches are occurring in the same top level window. So our stack sees these two touches going downwards. It interprets it as three potential gestures. The first is one of the gestures or one of the touches being dragged downwards. The second is the other touch being dragged downwards. And the third is a two-finger touch being dragged downwards. So it recognizes all three of those combinations. It sends those all of those combinations to the toolkit. Let's say it's GTK. And GTK will look at its hierarchy of widgets, and it'll see, okay, that one touch over in this pane, that matches what I want. Okay, that looks right. One touch over in the other pane, that looks right too. The two-touch drag, oh, that's spanning these two different widgets. It probably, that doesn't make any sense to me, so I'm going to reject that. And so it allows for the toolkit and the application to receive any combination of gestures and then process them however is most appropriate. So that's a big architectural change and a big feature that we're going to be adding this cycle.
Chase, do the toolkits do all that internally, or are the Qt, the Qt guys, and the GTK guys trying to work together to come up with some underlying common stuff?
So it in a sense needs to be done individually because the widget layers are different between the toolkits. Qt uses Qwidget and GTK uses Gobjects or Gwidgets. I'm not sure. I'm not as familiar with GTK myself. So in a sense, it's a completely different setup that they have, and so there's no possible way that they can really collaborate here. But the good news is that essentially you just need to implement it once per toolkit, and you know obviously the big ones are Qt and GTK. Once we have those implemented for those toolkits, we'll have a reference platform, if you will, for other toolkits like Enlightenment, if they want to, if we're going to create frameworks for that. That we, you know, there's only a handful of places where we need to do this. So, in theory and hopefully, it's not that big of a burden, even though it will still have to be done per toolkit.
Sounds good. And you answered my follow-up question, Enlightenment. So I think I'm about out of things to pester you with. Anything to draw in people who are curious about helping, either X specifically or open source projects or anything like that? Anything you want to tell people?
Well, we do have a project page on Launchpad, launchpad.net/utouch. And then you can find all of our projects there. We have a mailing list, multi-touch-dev@lists.launchpad.net. We have an IRC channel, /ubuntu-touch on IRC. Any of those forums, you can contact us, and we're happy to help you out, provide answers, take contributions. That's specifically for uTouch. For X, obviously, the X upstream development community is great. I mostly hang out on the xorg-devel at lists.x.org mailing list and on the /xorg-devel IRC channel. And I think, I've worked in the kernel, in X, in uTouch. Certainly, at uTouch, we try to be very welcoming, and we try not to flame or put people down. That doesn't seem to happen on X either, which I really like. It can happen on the kernel, but I'm mostly just throwing it out there to say we try to be gentle, nice people. So feel free to come and pester us. We're happy to chat.
Well, very cool. Well, thank you for taking time to talk with Allison and I, Chase. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Allison, like to say anything?
I think I'm happy, although I must mention that I was pained to hear 24 years ago described as ancient since I was at MIT when they started the X project. You young whippersnappers.
Sorry.
That was very fascinating. I had no idea there was so much activity going on. I'm really excited to see what new features are coming out and what new capabilities are added.
Well, thanks.
Well, all right. I guess this wraps up our awesome interview. Again, this is Hacker Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm. You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.